Right.
No, we're not.
Take All right. We are warmed up with episode part one. I don't know what episode we're on now. We're getting to that point of the podcast where it's more than 11, two.
11 to 12 to 13
ish. Something like that. But
I hope it's 13. Is it 13?
That's half of 26.
I like that. Yeah, lucky number.
Wow. I'm not sure. I think this actually is close to that. But nonetheless, this is part two of the Shit Yeah Show with Tony Edgerton, our new vice president of beverage. Mm-hmm. We are taking our bar program. If you've been to Zunza Bar, you know we're a beach-themed sports bar. We've got live music. And there's not great sports playing. And really our goal is for you to live the dream and want to be a place that you have fun, you can celebrate life and say shit yeah. And that's a moving target.
Mm-hmm.
It's changing. In 10 years, people are going to be saying shit yeah for different reasons. And so with the bar business, I think that's one of those things. When I created Zunza Bar, from my standpoint, is we had an award-winning food menu. We've tweaked that to elevate and make some changes. We've added wings, fresh chips, some more sauces, some different, you know, food items to enhance our sandwiches that, you know, people have grown to love. But how do we keep it fresh without just having that? And it's really the bar program. In my life, you know, I started off, fun fact, I didn't drink until I was 21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I went to the University of Florida and didn't drink and was in a fraternity. All of those things, if you can think that. So my parents had rules and I obeyed the rules because, there's fear of the Lord and fear of dad. And fear of dad was right up there. So, you know, very blessed to have that. But, you know, did the college bar thing the last year and then moved to Savannah and did the bar scene there and, you know, saw all of that as a customer and then fell in love with beach bars in the Virgin Islands. And that's how Zunza Bar came to be is if I'm going to be in this business that in many ways sucks, then I want to be, as we expand, create a concept that, you know, it'd be really fun to open locations with and build some quality of life with it. And also for our team, right? It's like, hey, instead of going to, you know, fill in the blank in the middle of nowhere to open in some random shopping center, hey, training team, you know, if you get promoted to be part of our, you know, certified training unit and traveling team, you're going to be able to go to some really cool places. And that's been the whole vision is to have a company that can create those opportunities. And if we're having fun, I think our fans will too. So all that being said, last episode, part one was really kind of your wiki bio.
Yeah.
Right? So if you want to go back and, you know, you can validate all that on, you know, I'm sure with ChatGPT, look, you know, look them up.
Yeah, right.
And
it's in there. Tony.
It's in there.
It's going to be a lot of acting stuff. There's going to be it's a mix of everything.
But really has done incredible things in the bar business. And so as things happen, you are back in Savannah.
Yes.
And, you know, I'm super really excited about this. Really, what I think it's Zunza Bar 2.0, right? We're going to take our flagship location and really focus on an elevated cocktail program. I think, you know, the goal is to be a place where you can have your favorite sandwich, then come back, you know, and go to an amazing happy hour spot, live music, happy hour, just really nail that. But then have an elevated cocktail program that really wows you. It's like, man, I can't believe that place has that type of program. In an environment that's pretty approachable.
Yeah.
You know, I think your ego is not your amigo is one of my favorite things.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's a lot of ego in the bar business. You touched on it in the last episode. So,
got to check it at the door. The ego.
There you go.
So, what's crazy is it just spawned this thought in my head about what you were saying here. It ties directly back to those early years when I was in the room with those titans of the industries, you know, people like Sasha Petrosky and they never had an ego about it. It was all about the work. It was about bringing something new and fresh to the guests because it was just better quality. Not because it's better per se, it's better quality, and quality speaks for itself. Mm-hmm. The recipes weren't anymore. At that time, it was still daiquiris and it was still simple 3-part cocktails, 4-part cocktails, but they were fresh ingredients, highest quality ingredients. And so now what we're essentially the 2.0, you know, the industry always goes through cycles, right? In the 2010 to 2013 era, everything was super pretentious. We went like hard science nerd level where we're, you know, using centrifuges and everything else to make our cocktails. And in a lot of ways, it's gone back to that place a little bit, but in a way that's much more approachable, and that's due to social media, right? So we're getting those techniques out to people, but we're also saying, hey, yeah, we do this because it makes a good drink. The Long Island iced tea is an example I love to use. It has a recipe. Mm-hmm. A Long Island is an actual cocktail that has a recipe, and when made fresh, it's actually really delicious. Yeah. It's like a very boozy lemonade, but it's got a freshness to it that is unique. And I think, you know, in society we can kind of lose track of that and just kind of settle.
Right.
You know, it's like, oh, this is the same Long Island I get in a pitcher at that bar, or I get it over at this bar, and it's all the sour mix and it's all those ingredients. But when you swap that out for fresh ingredients, and now all of a sudden you have a form and a recipe, you're following, the balance is in play. The amount of, you know, tequila and rum and that you're using is all prepared. So it's more
balanced. We were in New York. What was the
Dante?
Yeah.
Yes. So it's West Village, great bar.
Yeah, talk about Dante just for a second, because my Mary Catherine and I had one of our best New York experiences at Dante. It is now on our list. We have to go back. Yeah. And I think balance was a big part of it. It was with you, you know, being there with us, you were able to explain everything. It was like this unbelievable cocktail experience of really understanding the cocktails. I think I left there and I was like, man, I think the majority of the world has never had cocktails like the way they're supposed to be.
Yeah. And what's amazing is, in a way too, this presents an opportunity. Even back, you think about 2007, 2010 era, they were trying to bring all of that knowledge to the world. And we've only gotten so far with that. Even in that many years, there's still a ways to go where we're hitting fresh markets. We're getting to, some people don't get to experience it in the way that some markets do. So I would love to be able to bring that mm-hmm. to the people, like we were saying. So that's kind of the goal. It's going to be, it's not pretentious. It's just bringing good, fresh ingredients. And it's nice, developed cocktails that, have balance. And to tie back into Dante, I mean, what a world-class program that they have. I mean, they've won all the awards and such, but they focus on every detail. It's like all the little details are taken care of to a level that is pristine. And not because they have to, not because, you know, it's their purpose. It's what they want to do. Their purpose is to make beautiful, well-crafted, balanced cocktails. Mm-hmm. And it shows. I mean, how long was the wait when we were there? It was like 45 minutes to an hour.
It was a 45-minute wait to get
for
in.
For a cocktail? To get in.
To get in. I mean, service was impeccable. I mean, it was one of those things that, you can say they pay attention to every detail, but then it's like you keep like zooming in and zooming in.
Yeah. When I say that, I mean,
and I was in the bathroom in Armando's shit. Yeah. So I got to check out the bathroom. Yeah. And I went in, and their wallpaper, they had custom Dante wallpaper.
Oh, yeah.
Of their building. I was like, looking around.
The building that you were in.
Yeah. The building that they were in had. Yeah. It's like one of those things that keeps zooming in. It keeps like,
on the wallpaper.
Like a hand, like a sketch of it. Yeah.
Everything was so detailed. Yeah. You know, it was like one of those things that I just want to like take one of everything so I can like, you know, be like, just remember. But then by the end of their balanced cocktails, I was like, I'm just going to be a little imbalanced as I walk home.
You were like, oh, this is good.
But it was incredible. And I think, you know, that's one of those things that the pretentiousness of a lot of bars. I remember there was a bartender. And I think you were with us at that time, but it was a Netflix actor, okay? And he had come in with his girlfriend first time. They were staying at the Perry Lane. He was filming, and he had ordered, I think you were there. Were you there?
If it's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, let's not, hey, you know, everybody, it's all good. But it's one of those stories.
Yeah.
And I'm new in the bar business.
I made a joke and he didn't laugh at it.
You know, he's drinking Clos de Azul, right?
Okay.
But I think he asked for it chilled with lime.
Okay.
And I think him and his girlfriend probably had 8 shots. And it's not cheap, okay? And they're drinking it, this is Zunzibar early days, Big spoiler alert, we're going to have real glassware coming up here soon.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Right? It's happening. Yeah.
Moving up in the world.
So we're elevating to glassware and this fun stuff. But, you know, I think they got shot, you know, shots of Clase Azul in mini solo cups.
Yeah.
Right. but the bartender was like so pissed.
Oh, now I know who you're talking
you
about.
You know who it was.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Yeah, he was so pissed.
Yeah.
Like it was like, why would someone have a chilled in with lime? And like he was throwing bottles and all this stuff. And I was like, dude, the guy just spent $400.
Yeah.
Okay. He's having a ball of a time. Yeah. I don't care that he's like a Netflix celebrity or whatever. Like, why in the world do you care that it's chilled?
Yeah.
Right? He wants it the way he wants and he's having a good time. Focus on the shit you experience.
Number one thing I say to all my new teams when we're training, especially when they are bartenders who take themselves very seriously and want to learn. I had one of the best experiences curating a team in LA, and it was 25 bartenders, super talented individuals, and got to really, you know, kind of work with them on a very close level. And these are people who have great ideas and know how to balance a cocktail and want to create new flavor profiles. Getting to mentor them on a level that's like, hey, the best drink you can give anyone at any time, is whatever they're craving.
What they want.
It's what they want.
Yeah.
And then you make it better than anyone else.
The platinum rule. So we talk about the platinum rule is if you can give people what they want, right, they're going to love it.
They'll be your regulars forever.
Yeah, and that's it.
Make the perfect martini, Manhattan, old fashioned. If you make their favorite version of those drinks, that you're the bar they're going to. You know, you're the establishment because it's their favorite drink. You took the time to handle it with care. And you presented it.
So I think this is good to talk about.
Yeah.
A little bit more centered back on this one since we know we got a little taste of who, what, where, when, why, Tony, you know, with that. What sucks about the restaurant business? I think ego is one.
Yeah.
That was one of the first things that I was like, man, like, you know, that's not good. I just didn't like that. That was, and I fired him on the spot.
Yeah,
by the way.
I actually remember that.
I fired him. I made a scene because I'm very big on public execution when stuff like that happens.
I think my first day was the next week, and oh man, did I hear about it.
Mm-hmm. So I, one of the reasons why ego's not, you know, your amigo and why I don't like it is in the restaurant business when management's ownership gets an ego, right? The people that are the lowest in the totem pole suffer.
Oh, yeah.
Always, right? Mm-hmm. And that's, I just don't like that because that's what sucks about the restaurant business. If really, you know, who are we fixing the restaurant business and what this, you know, enormous lofty goal is, bar and restaurant, it's for the frontline people.
Yeah.
It's the ones that are having to clean the grease traps and take the bar apart and do all the, you know, all of that. It sucks. It's a hard business.
Yeah.
Right? And when it's, sucks more because of management having an ego, that's when it really sucks. And that's when culture gets really bad really quick. And it can happen really fast.
Oh, very fast. It spreads quickly. And think about the guest experience that day.
Yeah.
When the bartender's like throwing bottles and like freaking out behind the bar and swearing under their
breath.
And
they're busy. It was a packed. You know, it was
and
like,
you're going,
it was a $20,000 day. It was like, a great day.
Like relax. Like no one understands it. And over a literal shot. Like it's not even a cocktail. Yeah. When you really think about it back on something like that, like it's not even a perfectly balanced creation that you sent through the centrifuge that somebody tasted and went,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right.
That might make you a little upset. You spent 3 days making this drink and they're like, yeah, it's okay.
It's not smoky enough. Yeah, you're not tasting smoky notes.
Exactly. So, you know, but I always say it's like, that's like the graduated perspective. And it's really important as you go through your career. Every bartender goes through the phases. It's really funny too. You can almost map it out now. You got the young, eager, you know, passionate one, and then starts to learn cocktails and then gets too pretentious about cocktails and then has to find their way back to the balance, right?
Yeah.
And you know, that perspective of knowing what people love, what they want, knowing how to even earn their trust so that then you can show them a new experience, right? After you make them their favorite martini, you can then say, hey, this is the cool thing I'm working on. And then you have conversation starter. Then it's a whole different atmosphere, right? So that's how you run a bar professionally, even from behind the bar, right?
So I think to then add another thing that sucks about the bar business, because I'd been in the restaurant business for a long time, then got into the bar business, and even more, I was like,
I've got some.
Now Yeah, so certainly want that. But I think the training
in
bars.
Yeah. Yep.
At a very cursory explanation, it's a lot of bartenders are promoted to bartender when the bartender doesn't show up and the bar back's been there for a couple of months and they
jump in.
Hey,
throw to the
today's
fire.
Your day because management doesn't want to go bartend
hey,
that
you know
day.
How to make this stuff? All right.
Go.
Get in there.
And so they go in and then they muscle through it. That's not good for anybody, right?
No.
But you think about that and it's like, so then here's how it goes. Oh, I've bartended before.
Mm-hmm.
When they go to their next spot, they didn't get training. But they're a season. I bartended for 2 years, right? And so then it passes around. And so, you know, then you hire them and then it's not good. If you don't know the right questions, then you don't get the right answers to know if it's a good fit. And so I think that's, you know, you're kind of laughing and nodding at this.
I see it all
this.
The time. Man, I see it all the time.
Right.
Even bartenders, like you'll go into a location in a nice hotel and they're like, I've been bartending for 10 years. And then they start bartending and their technique is questionable at best.
Right.
And it's because they maybe have bartended for 10 years, but they've picked up a lot of habits along the way.
Right.
And you know, there's a million ways to skin a cat. There's not one good way to bartend. There's many good ways to bartend.
Right? I think it's the platinum rule. It's just whatever makes the guest happy.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't skin cats.
Oh, yeah. That's just a saying, I think.
I know.
That's a good one for the shit yeah book principles. Yeah. We'll have to add don't
yeah,
skin
right.
cats.
No.
Don't skin cats.
Me and Justin will take it out.
Yeah. There you go. Okay, so I think that's a good way to segue of you know, we're going to skip around.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I know I'm focused on and that I want to become in. And there really aren't great bar franchises out there,
mm-hmm.
right? I think we're operating really a fast casual kitchen,
mm-hmm.
right? Pretty simple. You know, we keep it, you know, on purpose, we have not hired a chef, right? We don't want to go that high culinary. We hire people that have backgrounds, but we're not going to have a director of culinary that's like, hey, we're going to really, really do that, you know, that as long as we can, so we can make sure we keep it simple, but execute at a high level. You know, I think from the bar side of things, we're doing the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, you have a ton of experience in regards to this, and there haven't been great bar franchises that have been able to scale and keep it going for a long time. And so with that training idea, we've talked about it of making that really our, you know, one of our X factors is I would love if I vision 10 years from now, well, you've worked at a Zunza bar, right? Man, that's a resume builder. It's mm-hmm. like, I know they got trained.
Yeah.
At least they got trained.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of crazy. Like, you know, you laugh at it, but
it's real.
Yeah. Where are the places that are actually pumping out at scale great bartenders?
Yeah.
I can't think of one.
Yeah.
They're probably great businesses that are opening their own independent locations.
Mm-hmm. They're
right? Yeah. They're independent.
Right.
Yeah. Independent restaurant organizations and bars are doing mm-hmm. Pumping out some really great people. We call them families in the industry.
Yeah.
There's bar families. You've got your different
like the mafia.
Yeah, it is. That's what I'm. And that's kind of it. All ties together, right? Like we talked in during the break a little bit. Like I have a direct sense of responsibility to pass on what was passed to me. I say right place, right time, and I was in these rooms with these legends who have written all the cocktail books that we read today, and I want to pass that along, mm-hmm. right? And that's part of the training is showing people, giving them the map to their careers and saying, hey, here's the map, here's the roadway. You're going to define where that goes. That's up to you. but here are the tools and you take it as far as you want to, or, you know, you just learn the foundations and you make solid drinks and that's cool for you because you have other life balance priorities and that's totally up to you to define, but I'm going to show you and give you the tools to even beyond the company, even beyond, like you said, you know, they might not work there forever, but then somebody's going to look back and say, oh, they worked at Zunza Bar. Oh, they know how to make drinks, you know, and that's huge.
And
that's
so big. I think, you know, what I would say, if you're a fan of Zunza Bar is the best is yet to come, mm-hmm. right? We're in the middle of tearing out the entire bar. I think we're going, you know, inside, it's going to go from a 7-seat bar that had 160 seats total in the restaurant to now where it's going to be, I think, over 20 seats at the bar, big horseshoe-shaped, you know, big center of that. We just got approved to cover half the patio. So we're going to create a great,
awesome.
Great ambiance out there. And, you know, you have to start with one location, and it's going to be our downtown location. That's going to be one. We're going to really nail that. It's going to be a big focus of it. And then we've got these other locations opening up. You know, Hilton Head is going to be one of those projects. I think we'll probably, elevating Tybee.
Yeah.
You know, and possibly, you know, two nights a week doing that. You know, I think, you know, as we do it downtown, I think they're going to ask for it, which is exciting.
Yeah.
But then Jupiter, Jacksonville, Villages, Orlando, those are all going to have elements of what we're talking about and really push that, which is exciting.
We're going to have fun doing it. That's a big part of it. It's fun when you see people catch the fire and when, you know, it's the passion that sparks in them. That to me is the greatest reward. It's worth more than anything is you got a team, you watch the fire light in them and then they run with it.
Yeah.
That's when you know you win. When they come back and I was like, so I was reading this book yesterday and you're like, yes. And you turn around and you go, now they're on the path of self-learning and, you know, then they're moving forward. That's how you know they're going to take as good care of the product as you do yourself, right? Yeah. It's teaching that integrity.
Yep.
It's not always easy to do. That's why it hasn't been done, I don't think, is it's not an easy task. But is it worth it? Absolutely. Right. 1,000%.
Oh. Just yeah. let's see. So what sucks about the restaurant business? let's do a rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
Knock out these three to close this out because the 26 minutes, you know, I got a little long-winded here. What's the number one thing you think sucks about it, bar business?
That would be, for me, it's got to be balance. It tends to send people down a road of late nights and long parties and can really throw off life balance pretty hard. You know, like you said, you have to have a good sense of self-control and understanding how to kind of rein that in. Yeah. Obviously, it is a struggle for a lot of people. And that is something that they will continue to work on in their lives. And it is a disease that can happen with alcoholism and whatnot. But we, just a bartender too, can go down a road of, like I did for a year of just like out too late, partying too much, and it derails you.
And it's fun too.
And it's a great
time. I mean, it's a season of life. I mean, you know, you see it happen all the time.
Yeah.
So
I was also going to call it a season of life.
Yeah.
So.
Nice.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. Yeah. So balance. You know, what makes you say shit yeah about the bar business of just like kind of what's your thing?
So there's definitely that I just touched on it. When you see the firelight in somebody from a training, from a team perspective, that's a huge shit yeah for me. And then also a guest experience. When I get to open a guest's eyes about the world of cocktails, when they say, wow, this margarita is better than other margaritas that I've had. And then they ask why, and then you start to tell them why. And they're like, it's so simple though. And you're like, well, yeah.
That's the shocking thing is like, so it was made the way it was supposed to be made.
That's
right.
The thing.
With balance. Yeah. And to be honest, we're probably not doing that right now.
Well,
I mean, you know, it's not that we're not serving, you know, great cocktails and that you're, you know, not leaving, enjoying it, but enormous opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's enormous opportunity in the business.
Yep.
As we grow, I'm really excited about that.
It's details. It's focusing on details. It's balancing of citrus and sweetness. It's, you know, you get into the very, very nitty gritty of it all, but we do that because we're the professionals.
Right. Yep.
They don't have to think about it on the other side. They just know they're having the best.
Well, and also too, in my role, you know, where focus goes, energy flows, right? And
so
it's like, you have to have someone who's laser focused on this constant, you know, small shifts. You know, after a year, it's a fracture, and now all of a sudden you're way off track.
Yep.
And so having a vision of where you're going and sticking to that, I think to speak to it now, you know, I did a little teaser on it and probably will close this out of some of the direction, but we're going to be, I think, tip of the spear of a big movement. You know, most franchises and most large companies that have a lot of locations, they're not going to take the risks that we're going to take. And I think, you know, what that is, I think alcohol is going to be around for a long time. Not too worried about that. But I think there's a massive movement towards no alcohol,
huge,
low alcohol,
huge
alternatives,
mm-hmm.
probably things you haven't heard about. But, you know, there's kava, mushroom elixirs.
Yep.
You've got all the cannabis, Delta 9, Delta 8.
Yeah, which we're already into.
You know, we've got that. And, you know, right now we've got those, you know, canned and, you know, we're going to navigate all the laws and everything that you have to do. But for me, what I want to do is I want to push and put it at an even playing field. I just mm-hmm. want, you know, if you want to come in and have your favorite cocktail and someone else, you know, is at home and they're having Delta 9 or they're having a kava drink, you know, if you can go to a place and you can get what you want, come at people where they are and then elevate it, right? Yeah. Raise the bar, you know, no pun intended, but raise the bar on what you're doing and not just dabble. It's like, you know, I don't really, you know, drink a whole lot, right? But when I do, it's quality and I'm focused on it. But, you know, it's annoying when it's like they're, you know, I ask for an NA option just because I want to be out and have a good time. But it's like they don't know what it is. And if they do, it's like all the way in the back of the cooler, right?
Yeah.
And it's so dusty on the top.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, it's you know, it's, I hate to say, it's like we got a Heineken Zero.
It's an afterthought.
Right?
Yep.
It's an afterthought, yep. But that market is really growing. So I think probably one of the big things of a direction, you know, I think you can expect that coming.
Oh, absolutely. Huge, huge expansion on it. You know, and it's a healthier lifestyle. It's, you know, the newer generation is drinking less. It's been shown, studies have had. And, you know, I've always been the type of person, we've talked about this a lot, where, you know, in the old books, you can look up books from the 1800s and you'll read in them, and bars had a two-drink rule. Hmm. After two drinks, you were presented with a check because that's enough.
That's right? Interesting.
So there was a rule about having two cocktails. Cocktails were spirituous and stirred and they're boost forward. When you have a well-designed cocktail, you can taste the alcohol and that's a good thing. It's a flavor profile. And then after two of them, you're feeling it, right? You got a little bit of a buzz going on, but you were presented with a check because you weren't going to get too out of control in those rooms. So, you know, we have a different, obviously, lifestyle now than when they did in the 1800s, but that is an interesting thing of even back then they were trying to regulate it. I don't think we need to regulate it. I think we're self-regulating at this point. And that's to speak on the NAs of people are enjoying cocktails some nights, and then they're also still wanting to go out and be social. They don't want to have to drink 3 and 4 nights a week when they want to hang out with their friends because it gets to be too much. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about y'all, but at my age, you can't even do it. You can't keep up with it anymore. So it's like you have to pick and choose.
There's a lot of truth to that.
You have to pick and choose.
You're tired and it's expensive.
But you still want to go out and have a good time. And, you know, and that's where mushroom adaptogen cocktails come into play. And it gives you a subtle sense of euphoria, which still gives you that uplifting feel that you get, but it doesn't give you the negative side effects on the other side of that. Yeah. So I think it's very important and it is the future. And there's no reason why it isn't taken very seriously. And we're going to. So,
So we did show up today wearing the exact same outfit. If you're not on
it's
video.
Like exactly the same.
We're wearing the exact same colored jean jacket and black denim.
Yeah.
Pants.
Very on brand.
Yeah,
you know, maybe that's the new uniform. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up.
Awesome.
Say shit yeah.
Oh, no, I got to open this.
You got to open it
that
up.
That wasn't hard.
Exploders. I hope not. This is a non-sploding batch. Yeah. All right.
So wait, how much of this do we have?
And so.
Take a shot.
Take a shot of it.
Just a little.
You can't say a shot.
Take a shot.
Shot. Shit, yeah.
Cheers.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
There you go.
It's really good.
Mm. Sure, yeah.
You got a good shot.
That was a good one. Shit, yeah.